Morning and hello again. Good to see everybody. If you will, begin turning to Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. I too echo what Angus said. There's greetings from the brethren there in San Diego and from Rescue, from John and Kathy Reeves and many others. I said to tell you hello. I realized as Angus was reading, I have two messages for you today. I pray so. They're for your heart. I want to visit with you. I want to talk with you and spend time with you, but we're here to worship our Lord. And if that happens, we'll have something in common and something to be happy about and something to talk about, won't we? But both messages, I had 3 points for. I'll try to be as brief and concise as I can be. But here in Daniel 4, we want to see the Lord revealed. The Lord reveals himself to someone. And the sinner revealed that they're in need of a Savior. There's a reason they need a Savior. And then there's praise given. Praise given. That's what happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. We'll see that's what happened to a lot of the prophets of old that wrote it down. And that's what's happened to me. I'm just going to tell you what happened to me, and you'll echo that too. That's what happened to you. It's the same thing. In Daniel 4, here in verse 1, it says, Nebuchadnezzar the king, so the king is speaking, unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth. King Nebuchadnezzar is giving a decree to anybody that will read it and hear it. Peace be multiplied unto you. Peace to you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. Not that he does wrought, he does work towards everybody, but I'm just going to tell you what he's done for me. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion is from generation to generation. That's how the king begins this decree. He said, I'm going to tell you something. This is what happened to me. And then he goes on, he says, I had a dream. Daniel interpreted the dream. And he said, the kingdom's going to be taken from you. You're going to walk around on all fours. And then 12 months elapsed. And King Nebuchadnezzar forgot everything that was preached to him. That happened. You ever heard a message? And you think, boy, that was wonderful. And my heart was blessed. And then about 2 hours later, he said, what was the text? I don't know. I can't remember. I can tell you lyrics to a song from years, decades before I was born. We forget, don't we? Don't feel bad. Someone asked me about an hour after I preached the message. They said, what was your text? We're going to put on sermon audio. And I said, I can't remember. I studied it all week and then preached it. And that's a shame. Well, Nebuchadnezzar forgets. A year takes place. And right as he was declaring wonderful things happening in his kingdom. And he said, look what I did. Our economy's booming. I built these buildings, all these things. Well, I've done this. I've done a great job. Right then. He's on all fours until 7 was completed. And people waste time arguing how long that was. If it was 7 days, 7 weeks, 7 months, 7 years, it was complete. That trial lasted on Nebuchadnezzar exactly as long as the Lord intended for it to accomplish the task he sent it for. We'll read down to 34. Here's what he accomplished. Daniel 4, verse 34. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. He's not like me. I have one generation. I'm going to be here as long as I'm here. And then my kingdom will be gone, and some other kingdom will come up. And he said, this kingdom is from everlasting. From before there was time until after there will be time. He's revealed himself to me. And that's necessary. The Lord revealed himself to Nebuchadnezzar by the preaching of Daniel and through the trials that the Lord sent to open his eyes. And he revealed that he's the self-existent one, the everlasting king. He's God. He's the Lord of lords, the King of kings. And this God is God. He's the Most High. It's different. He's not a God. He is God. And that's necessary for the Lord to reveal that to someone, because we were born into this world with an instinct, a nature from Adam, and we think we know God. Ask anyone. They'll have an opinion. Good, bad, ugly, something, but they'll have an opinion. Oh, I know. I know. No, we don't know. The Lord has to reveal that. But Pharaoh was honest. Whenever Moses came to Pharaoh and he said, the Lord told me to tell you, let my people go. And you better do it. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey him? He was honest. He was honest. The Lord's going to, he didn't bow to him, but he's going to reveal himself who he is to him. David wrote that in Psalm 48. He said, this God is our God forever. Oh, Brother Maurice Montgomery said that years ago. He said, our God is God. Not a God, not tries to be God. The Lord we worship, the Lord you worship, is God. He lives up to his name. He does. And he revealed himself to his people. The Lord Jesus Christ, that the Godhead in a body, is revealed in and to his people. And he won't miss one. He won't be found wanting in somebody and not another. And he won't, one's not going to sneak in on him. It's going to be exactly to his elect, to those that he shed his blood for. He won't miss one. And he's going to reveal himself. And when he does that, he reveals aspects of himself. We don't know all of him and all about him at once. Paul, the great apostle, who had experienced so much and had so much revelation and could explain things way better than I ever could think of it. He said he saw through a glass dimly. Where does that leave Kevin Thacker? Where does that leave us, huh? But the Lord reveals these things to us and teaches us these things. He revealed himself to Moses before he sent him to Pharaoh. He said, I am the great I am. You remember that? Moses was there and he saw a burning bush over on the side. And he said, how come that bush is burning? It's on fire, but it's not consumed. And that's the rule of first mention. The Lord said, you're on holy ground. It's the first time holy is mentioned in the scriptures. He said, take your shoes off. What is taking place here, you ain't going to fully understand. But that bush is providing itself for the fire, but it's not consumed. It's not corrupted. Take your shoes off, Moses. And he said, I am that I am. And he said, thus say you say to the children of Israel, when they ask you who sent you, you say, I am sent you. My people will hear it. Not I used to be. Not someday I may be if someone will let me. If you'll pretty please let me. He's not like us. There was a time that I wasn't around. There was a time I wasn't born. And I'm here and there'll be a time that I'm not here on this earth. There was a time when time was not. And then the Lord was. And he is right now and he shall be. If you sit down and try to understand infinity. They said, what's the center of the number line? What's zero? Well, no, it's any number. If it goes on forever, you'll go crazy thinking those things. That's when mathematicians lose their mind. The Lord's infinite. He's everlasting. We can't enter into that. He's not like us. That's the exact words that Christ used in the garden when they came to arrest him. He said, who do you seek? I said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am. And they fell back like trees, just blown down. I am. That's who he is. He reveals himself as that. And this kingdom, he's the king, and it's from everlasting to everlasting. He has always been on his, this is comforting to believers. He has always been on his throne. He's on his throne, reigning, and he shall be on his throne. And just as Brother Angus just read, the things concerning me, I can't say it for everybody in the world. You can say that for you. The things concerning me, it shall be perfected. Lord does all things right. And whatever, if it's rain, sunshine, trials, or years of plenty or years of famine, it doesn't matter. It's right. It's right. He's on his throne. That's what the Lord was revealing to Nebuchadnezzar, to this self-righteous, proud, arrogant, stubborn king. The Lord revealed himself as king. He meets us where we are. He meets us at our point of rebellion. And that's different for everybody, but the Lord reveals himself initially in those spots. Isaiah, you remember that well, Isaiah 6. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And those seraphims were there. They had six wings. Two covered their eyes, two covered their feet, and with two they flew around. And they cried, holy, holy, holy. God revealed himself as holy, holy to Isaiah. He revealed himself to Job. Look over in Job 38. find Saul and turn left one book, just a few pages. Job 38, verse 3. The Lord decides to speak to Job for a few chapters here. I read this often. I enjoy it. Job 38:3. He says, "Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. You tell me, where were you at? And who hath laid the measure thereof that thou knowest, or who hath sketched the line upon it?" He starts talking to Job. He speaks of the sea. I thought of that this week. We were down there on a boat down in Tasmania. And those waves were all over and crashing. And I thought, what keeps that from just washing this island away? The Lord tells Job the same thing he tells Jeremiah. He said, "Do you know how the bounds of the sea are?" He said, "Why don't you fear me?" He asked Jeremiah. He said, "Why don't you tremble at my presence?" He said, "I have placed the sand for the bounds of the sea." All those waves that just destroy ships and conquer anything that's out there in it, the Lord uses to stop that with sand. Y'all have reservoirs or dams here. Concrete, and get it as thick as you can get it. Put steel in there. We have to do everything we can to hold back this water. The Lord says, "I'll use sand to do it. And it can't come past unless I allow it." He's declaring himself to Job as the creator and the sustainer of all things. Down in verse 22, Job 38:22. "Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war?" He's asking Job, he said, for imagery so you can understand these things, Job, do you have a warehouse or a stockhouse full of snow and hail in case there's a war and you feel like stopping that war for a day? Lord did that in our nation. It's only treason if you lose. I saw that a lot lately. But Washington crossed the Delaware, and the British couldn't come because of the snow. They froze it. Well, where'd that come from? Well, George Washington got lucky. No, the Lord sent that snow. He said, "Be thou on the ground." He breathed, and that temperature dropped, and the water froze. The Lord controls those things. Down in verse 35. He said, "Can thou send the lightning that it may go and say unto thee, here we are?" There's so many things in Job. This is the oldest physical book many scholars believe in existence, about 4,000 years old. And in science, they said, well, light actually has a sound wave to it. In spectrum analysis, they found this. Job said the stars sing. He understood that. And then in the 80s, I remember the cameras got so fast, they recorded storms, and they said, actually lightning we thought come from the sky, but it actually comes up from the ground. The bolt travels upward through the electricity. The Lord said, "Can you say, hey, lightning, be over there?" And it says, "From the ground, here we are." We can't do that, can we? The Lord revealed himself to Jeremiah as the sovereign of salvation. He told Jeremiah, he said, "You go down to the potter's house," just like that article in the bulletin. Spoke to him and said, "Go." "What am I going to do down there?" "I didn't tell you what you're going to do down there. I said, go." And he went down to the potter's house and he saw a potter making pots, taking clay. And he made one vessel of honor, one vessel of dishonor, one to drink water out of, one to use as a spittoon or a bathroom. And he said, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter?" Doesn't he have the right to do with his own as he sees fit? If we think ourselves more than clay, proud and self-righteous, what would the Lord do something like that? But he says, "You're nothing but clay. I'm the potter. I'll do with you as I see fit." He said, "So are you in my hand, O house of Israel." To Ezekiel, the Lord revealed himself as the one that made that covenant of love. You remember that in Ezekiel 16, that was a baby. Instead of being aborted in a nice room in a hospital like they do now, those days they threw him out in the field. So it was a baby born, and it was just tossed out in the field naked. No defenses, no way of surviving the elements, no way of feeding itself, completely helpless and hopeless, laying in a field. Polluted in its own blood. That's something to understand. We'll see in a minute. It's its own, polluted in its own blood. And the Lord said, "When I passed by thee, I looked upon thee. You didn't know I was walking past. You weren't looking upon me. And behold, thy time was a time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee." And I covered thy nakedness. And I swear to thee, and I entered a covenant with thee. How could a day-old baby enter into a covenant? I'll hold up my end. No, you don't know what your end is. The Lord said, I'll make a covenant with you, saith the Lord. And because that, he said, you became mine. Because I covered your nakedness, and I washed you, and I cleaned you, and I clothed you, and I provided for you. Why? He wanted to. He was capable of it. It was his right to do so. He was related to us like that kinsman redeemer, and he was willing. He willingly did so. It was a time of love. That's not a theological fact. That breaks the heart. The Lord taught Nebuchadnezzar. He said, I'm the king. You understand this kingship thing. I'm the king. I'm the sovereign. I'm holy. I'm majestic. And I have all power. And he revealed that to an earthly, proud, boastful king. But that wasn't all that he revealed to Nebuchadnezzar. The Lord showed himself who he is. But he also showed Nebuchadnezzar who he was. Look here, back in Daniel 4, verse 34. Daniel 4, 34. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion's an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom from generation to generation. And all of the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. Nothing. The Lord revealed himself and his holiness and his majesty and his sovereign power and his sovereign love, and everyone that isn't him is nothing. Nebuchadnezzar said, that's me, and that's anybody I talk to. We're nothing. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And I just went through and told you about how the Lord revealed himself to Isaiah as holy and to Job as the creator and sustainer. You know what Isaiah's reply was when the Lord revealed himself as holy, holy, holy? It says, I said, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He increases, and I'm decreasing. I'm nothing. That's what Isaiah said. I'm nothing. Nebuchadnezzar says, all the inhabitants of the earth is nothing. This is the Lord. Job replied. He saw that creation, the creator and his power and all those things. And he says in Job 40, I answered the Lord and I said, behold, I'm vile. What shall I answer thee? I'll lay my hand upon my mouth. I'm going to close my mouth and open my ears, Lord. Moses, the Lord said, you're on holy ground. I'm speaking to you from this bush. I'm holy. I'm eternal. And Moses hid his face for he was afraid to look upon God. That's not some boastful, flippant person that comes into the house of God and says, I'm here to get a blessing today, or we're going to have a prayer meeting, and we're all going to gang up on God and perform a mutiny and bend his arm to do what we will. No. Not when the Lord reveals himself who he is and who we are. All flesh is grass. Behold your God. That's a humbling experience. Paul said, we're the circumcision. We worship God in the Spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. And we have no confidence in the flesh. None. We read in Isaiah, he said, behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket and counted as a small dust on the balance. Just like that raging Southern Ocean that's connected to the Pacific and that connected to all the others, right? And the Atlantic. If I went out and found a drop inside of a bucket I took out of that sea, what's that? It's immeasurable. So if you go to weigh something on the balances, If I'm going to go on a diet, I may try to do that. I get on a scale and I don't like it. I try to keep that dust off. Try to lose that extra half kilogram or something, right? We don't do that. We'd be comical, right? It's laughable. The Lord said that's what all the nations of the earth, all these great kingdoms and these great powers and principalities that mankind's so worried about, he said it's nothing. It's a speck of dust. He said all the inhabitants are reputed as nothing. Lord says the nations are as a drop. John answered. John the Baptist said, a man can receive nothing. Nothing. We are nothing and we can receive nothing except the Lord gives it from heaven. Whether that's our breath, our bread, our our jobs or whatever it may be. Pilate told the Lord, he said, why don't you answer me? He said, don't you know that I have the power to let you go or kill you? And Christ spoke to him. He said, thou couldst have no power. You have nothing against me except it was given thee from above. I'm the vine, you're the branches, he said in John 15. He that abideth in me and I am him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. We're going to do good things. Serve the Lord and honor him. Praise his name. Love our brethren. Believe Christ. For without me you can do nothing. Nothing. Paul told Timothy, he said, we brought nothing into this world and it's certain we'll carry nothing out. And if a man thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, that's what we are, he deceiveth himself. The Lord has to reveal that he's almighty, all-powerful, holy, sovereign, worthy of praise, and we're nothing. Lord, help us, be with us, and make us praise you. We believe, help our unbelief. We trust your promises, not as we ought. We worship, not as we want to, but be with us. I wrote down just the I wills and they shalls of the scripture. Angus touched on that too. Every time the Lord said, I will and they shall. I will be their God and they shall be my people. I will walk in them and they shall bring forth much fruit. Tis doom. We are nothing. He's holy, sovereign, eternal, Savior, the Creator, the author of that covenant of love. And we're nothing. Verse 35 in Daniel 4. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will an army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? He doeth according to his will. And all. Well, you got to let go and let God. Lord, the Lord's wanting to do something and you got to let him. That's an ear that doesn't hear and a mouth that doesn't speak correctly. There's a speech impediment. And that's what me and Angus were talking the other day. There's people I've known for decades. I don't know a man's heart. I don't know a lady's heart. The Lord looks on the heart. I can't know somebody. You can't know my heart. But I can know what comes out of the mouth. If you hear the same thing over and over, eventually everybody will tell you what they think. You know, what's in them. But the Lord doeth as he sees fit. The Lord's always performed. That's the perfect tense. Doeth. He's always done what pleased him, his will. He's doing right now. Anything that takes place is exactly according to his will, and it shall be. Shall be. Whatever comes to pass, and he changes not. Knowing that and understanding that, that we're nothing and he is, he's everything, then we read Romans 8, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. This Lord, this sovereign, this God who is God, he does things on purpose. On purpose. If somebody says, well, I'm saved. Well, was it an accident? Or did the Lord do it on purpose? Well, he did it on purpose, didn't he? All things. All things. We read that in Colossians 1. For by him were all things created in heaven and earth, visible, invisible. Thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. All things were created by him and for him. That's for our good and for his glory. Now, it's easy for these mankind born of Adam that's nothing to be concerned on what's for our good. I like good. Do you like good things? I want what's good for me. You want what's good for you, don't you? But instead of just looking for a blessing, and as the Lord teaches these things, we look to be a blessing. Instead of just looking out for number, what we call that with them in the army. What's in it for me? What can I get? It's for our good, but it's for Christ's glory. Is that paramount? Do we seek first the kingdom of God? He'll make us, won't he? He'll make us. Finally, Nebuchadnezzar. The Lord revealed who he is to Nebuchadnezzar. He's an everlasting kingdom. And that king understood that language. He knew what that meant. And he realized that him and everyone else and anything he put stock in, his advisors, his counselors, other kings, nothing. Nothing. Christ is all. That's what was revealed to him. And that produced something. Nebuchadnezzar was taught to praise the Lord, not give lip service or go to church or say your prayers. He praised God. Look at verse 34 again. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven. My understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? And at the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor, my brightness returned to me, and my counselors and my lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Same thing happened to Pharaoh. Did you know that? On each one, we're going through the plagues there back in San Diego. And Pharaoh, like the flies came, and Pharaoh said, Moses, pray to your God that this would go away. And Moses said, okay, I will tomorrow. So he got up the next morning, prayed to the Lord. The Lord took the flies away or wherever the curse was. And boy, Pharaoh was happy. Everything was restored to him. He had a problem, and the problem was resolved. And then he hardened his heart right then. And so Nebuchadnezzar, the same thing went through to him. And he said, well, my reason came back to me. I got my counselors back. My kingdom's restored. I'm back on the throne of this earthly kingdom. But verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, whose works are a truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he's able to abase. He's on his throne, and he said, now I'm going to do something. Instead of building great buildings and furthering my kingdom and my name, making statues to me, I'm going to praise the Lord, the King of heaven. I'm going to extol his name. I'm going to honor his name. And all of his works are truth. What he does is right. His ways are judgment. They're final, and they're good. His law is majestic. His words infallible. It's perfect. And those that walk in pride, he said, just I'm gonna tell you what happened to me is what he said in the first few verses. I walked in pride. When I was a young fella, I grew up in the right church with the right preacher and the right gospel, and I had cold dead letter doctrine in my head. And I would fight you tooth and toenail. And like old Barnard used to say, my doctrine was as straight as a gun barrel and just as empty. And I was fighting a systematic theology. And then the Lord revealed a person to me, not a good doctrine to adhere to or something theologically accurate according to Scripture. He revealed a person to me. Mankind can't do that. If I could get a funnel and put it down people's throats and pour the gospel in there, and then they'd be a child of God. That's like with the baptism. People don't believe that. If you believe throwing water on somebody and made them saved, I'd buy a fire truck and just spray everybody walking down the street. You put your money where your mouth is, don't you? I can't do that. You can't do that. We pray for people. The Lord's able to abase. He's able to bring one low and exalt Christ high. He has to. We declare it. Live, drop bones. Live. He's the one that does it. I thought too of Nebuchadnezzar. You know the story. He was down on all fours. His claws grew out. His had coarse feathers coming out of him, eating grass, chewing the cud. Would you choose that for one of your loved ones that doesn't know the Lord? You said, Lord, bring them down. Be hard on them. Put them in a mental institution for 7 years. Make them crazy. I wouldn't think to ask for that. Would you ask that for yourself? Lord, it seems like you've hid your face from me. Bring me low. Strip me and take everything from me so I see Christ high and exalted. I wouldn't ask those things. But his ways are not our ways. And he's the faithful one. I'm the one that's prone to wonder, like we just say. He's the faithful one. He is. What if the Lord's pleased to save someone, to reveal Christ in them? I thought of Romans 11. You can turn there if you want, and we'll close. We see these things take place after the fact. Hindsight. Romans 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable is his judgment, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, that's the source of all things, creation, providence, salvation, perseverance, glory, of him and through him, that's the means by which it comes to pass, the power it takes to make this happen. And to him, that's the recipient of all the praise, are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Do you want to pray or you want me to?
You can pray.
Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this word that you've given us. This truth. These scriptures that declare your Son, Lord. Thank you for the work that he's accomplished at Calvary for his people and that he intercedes for us now. What a glorious thing that is. Lord, thank you for your power to abase proud sinners and exalt Christ for his glory. And how happy we are, Lord, when we see him high and lifted up. Thank you for this testimony of King Nebuchadnezzar and of each of your prophets. And thank you for the work you've done in a people here. Thank you for the work you've done in this center to show us what we are and show us who Christ is and where he is now and what's been accomplished. And thank you for the word of praise you give us and the heart to do so. It's because of Christ we ask these things. Amen.